Welcome back to Help, I'm Creative. My name's Olivia Peck. Today I have Lucy, my roomie. Oh my god. And my boyfriend's mowing the grass. But oh well, we're gonna keep going.
I was just wondering where our cat Francis would be hiding because Jeff is mowing the grass and Angela is power washing her yard. So just two spots are unavailable.
Oh man, poor little dude. Yeah, he's kind of like our neighbor has an outdoor cat and he's sort of become our cat too. Which is good, because he has more mommies.
Yeah, he has like 7 moms.
Yeah.
And a couple dads.
Yes, and he loves it, and right now he has nowhere to go because everybody's doing yard work. He's probably a little bummed.
Yeah.
He's probably running around the neighborhood. I have a list of really random questions. I'm going to try to, like, blow through them because I have so many. I've never had this many questions. For a pod, because I could have gone in like so many directions.
Yeah.
I just went in all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So good luck.
Cool. I'm excited. This is my first time on a podcast.
Really?
Too, so. Yeah. I don't.
Well, you did your radio show in college.
Yeah, but that was like literally a joke.
That was a pod.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
We didn't even know like one time my friend was listening and she was like texting me like, I can't hear anything right now. Like there's just like static, or like we try to go to a commercial and we'd still be like talking.
Oh.
And she'd be like, I can hear you. Like, damn it.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have to worry about
it. It was a disaster.
That.
But fortunately not a lot of people listened to
I don't think anyone
the
listens to
university
this either,
college so. Radio station at like
Emory.
11 p.m. on a Wednesday.
That's a big university, Emory
College. Yeah, it is, I guess.
So you went to Emory. You're about my age. You're a year or two older than me, though, I think.
Yeah,
so
I'm
29.
So, sorry.
You're basically 30.
Yeah. Not trying to rub it in. I'm almost 30.
So what? Tell us what... What do you do, Lizzie?
What do I do?
What's your career? What's your whole thing?
Right now, my career is staying at home.
Good.
I'm taking a gap year, I guess, before I was supposed to start veterinary school, but with COVID, there's been some delays. So I was supposed to start this fall, this September 2020, but now I'm not starting until September 2021. Because of COVID, related issues. So yeah, I'm just kind of chilling in the meantime, teaching.
It's all the way in England.
Yes,
so that's a complicated thing. Of course you have
in England. Yeah. Yes, that the specific issue was that I had to get my passport renewed, but I couldn't, like, the passport offices were taking an extremely long time, so I didn't get it renewed in time for the start of school, even though I submitted it way earlier than I would have normally needed to.
Right.
So.
And I'm really glad because I had just moved in, and Lucy's amazing, so I was really lucky, to move in with such a good group of people living here already.
Yeah, I'm happy too. This year has been pretty much I just went to college, worked my butt off, and then graduated and got a job and worked my butt off for a few more years, and then was supposed to start vet school and work my butt off again.
Right.
So it's kind of nice to have this whole year where I know something, I don't even have to apply to schools or anything. It's just it's already all in place. I'm just
that is
you
nice.
Know having a little bit of time to kind of. Take a breath and just kind of hang out and not really do too much.
Yeah, you've been in, vet school is so rigorous from what I hear, and it's just like med school.
Yeah, med school, but you learn everything times six different animals,
right.
Learn anatomy for not just the human,
People.
It's it's dog, cat, cow, sheep, horse, pig. Those are the main.
Do you have a specific part of that you want to go into? I don't even know what to even...
Yeah, no. There's a lot of different fields. I think most people think, when they think of a vet, they think of just, like, you know, where I go to take my dog or cat when they're sick. Right. And that is a lot of it, but that's kind of like the private practice small animal realm, which I'm actually not very interested in. I worked at a... My, like, vet tech experience was at a shelter for 2 years, which I dealt with dogs and cats, but it was more... like a community care, I guess, kind of thing, like taking care of strays, finding homes for them, just helping out kind of like neglecting animals that didn't have a home, which I like more than just like, you know, taking care of people's pets, which is nothing against that, but I prefer the like kind of almost like public community health mm-hmm. aspect of that.
Right.
Where I'm not just taking care of someone's like $10,000 poodle.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
So I'm definitely interested in shelter medicine, but there's a lot of different other avenues you can take with veterinary medicine. I mean, you could do, like, large animal, like, farm kind of animals. You could even just do public health, like, disease. Kind of like, I mean, honestly, there's a lot of veterinarians that are working on, like, COVID-related,
oh, wow.
you know, applications. Because it came from, like, studying... It came, because it came from, they think, like, some kind of...
A bat.
Like, pangolin, I think. Maybe a bat. I don't remember. I think it may have changed, but I think it came from some sort of, like, kind of like an armadillo type animal. So there's a lot of, like, research to be done between, like, veterinary and, like, human medicine. So things like that, yeah. It's a pretty broad...
It is.
...degree.
Wow,
if you take it past the private practice small animal medicine, there's a lot of other things you can do. So I'm not totally sure. I just don't really... I'm not a huge fan of, like, the private practice for me, personally.
Switching gears a little bit, and I'm going to get back to your interests, because you have a lot of interests, and a lot of them are really creative, but this is a commonality we have. I would ask you what your favorite episode is, but I'm not going to ask that because I don't think that really gets to the heart of it. What SpongeBob episode has changed your life the most?
Oh, God. I think maybe the one where Squidward, like, goes to Squidville.
Oh, my God.
Like, a little bit of a dark episode, I guess, where he's, like...
very dark.
Initially, like... going, you know, like, thinking it's gonna be his dream life, and it is, and then the, you know, he's doing the spinning class every day,
yes.
and he gets tired of it. Yeah, I don't really know how to describe, I guess, I don't know, just, you don't realize certain things in your life that are important, and, you know, you don't know what
right.
you got until it's gone, blah, blah, blah,
oh my
blah.
Gosh, what a good answer.
Yeah, I don't know. That one's just pretty funny. I like the canned bread line, too. I don't know if you remember
that.
What
does
that.
He say?
Like, he's, like, shopping in Squidville, and he sees that they have canned bread.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, oh, my God, canned bread. I don't remember. It's
That's,
something about, like, he's
is.
Amazed that they have canned bread.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, you know, some kind of sort of suburban life versus living your own life type thing.
Okay.
There's a moral in there somewhere.
Oh, man. That is a good one. That's a creepy
yeah.
one.
I do love, probably what actually impacts my life the most is the chocolate episode, just because I like to do the
voice. You like to say it?
I remember chocolate.
You do say that.
You do that one yeah,
really well.
I like that one.
Yeah, that one is good.
That one's funny. What about you? Do you have an epi that's...
Oh, I don't know.
Burned into your brain always?
I think the talent show one kind of, like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. With Sandy and, like, where he's telling squirrel jokes? Or am I thinking...
Oh, maybe. Oh. I think she does. I think she does. But I just really love how Squidward was so into it. And he did this, like... show-stopping
mm-hmm.
ballet
yeah.
thing, and then he went into modern or probably whatever they were trying to get at.
Yeah.
And then nobody liked it.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, boo, get off the stage! They were throwing tomatoes at him. And SpongeBob comes on and he's sweeping, and everybody, like, goes crazy.
Oh,
and he's
yeah.
like, what?
They're like, do it again!
Yeah.
Modern, that's modern... audience.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and I just thought it was, like, so true. Like, you can put your heart and soul into something and nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
It's like...
Yeah.
It's funny.
A lot of, yeah, Every episode really does have, like, if you think about each episode for a little bit, you can find
gems.
You can find something in there, yeah. You know, worth knowing. Yeah.
Don't you think they played that one episode, going, like, don't you think they played that one a little too much?
I'm trying to think of which one I probably saw the most. I feel like the one as a kid that I wanted to see the most, it's weird, like, thinking about how I used to wait for episodes, like, you know, yes. They weren't on demand, like, you kind of just had to watch TV and see what was coming, you know, kind of missed that a little bit. But anyway, I feel like I always wanted to see the Band Geeks one.
Oh,
like, that was one that I was like, please, just be the Band Geeks one. And it, like, never was.
That one was good, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think which one I feel like I saw the most. I don't know.
That one is definitely, like, right up there.
I feel like the Ripped His Pants one.
I think that one's one of the first ones.
Yeah.
That one was very good.
I feel
good.
Like that one played a lot. I like that one. Maybe the same way that the ripped pants joke gets old for all the people in the Bikini Bottom. Maybe
yes.
That episode got a little old for me.
Overplayed.
A little overplayed. Still love it.
Who's your favorite character?
I kind of like Sandy when she's, like, really gung-ho about Texas.
Oh, yeah.
She's like a classic Texan. Like, so.
I never really liked Sandy that much, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I normally am not that big of a fan of Sandy, but I think specifically in the Texas episode when she's like, wow, this is such a Texas person. Like
the one that's getting, like, I want to go home.
Yeah. And she, like, just, I forget what she does, but she goes on, like, a rampage when somebody insults Texas. Or, like, Patrick says it's not that great, and she, like, rips his face off or something like that.
So typical Texas.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's hard to pick. I mean, do you have a fave?
I think my favorite is SpongeBob.
Really?
I feel like as a kid I related to him
a
lot.
To him the most.
Because I was very energetic.
Yeah.
And I loved my friends a lot.
Yeah.
And they kind of would get annoyed at me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've related to him.
Yeah.
I was a very happy child. Me and your boyfriend talk about this, how you're so good at everything. Like, it's unreal. Like, you're that kid that no matter what it is, you're just like, you come out on top. I don't know how you do it, but you're just so good at everything. You're so smart. And sometimes I'm like, how do you pick the thing to do? Because you could do anything you wanted. And you have, like, a lot of hobbies, which I'm hesitant to even say hobbies because you surpass hobby level with everything. Like cooking, roller skating, hiking. What are your favorite hobbies? And have you ever considered making any of those a career?
I guess I would consider cooking. I do love cooking. I do think of it as a hobby, even though it's kind of weird. It's like you're feeding yourself. Like, that's not a hobby. Like, you have to. You're either cooking or you're buying food. You know, like, you have. But yeah, I love cooking. I never have really thought about making a career out of it, just because I feel like that's, I don't know a lot of people in, like, the food service industry that don't just, like, complain about it constantly, that, like, just think it's, like, a really rough career, even if you love it.
It is.
Yeah, so I think for me, cooking is just kind of, like, you know, a hobby that feeds me, which is convenient.
Yeah.
I love roller skating too. That's probably my favorite thing to do. And that's, I didn't really start doing that until I was like 2016, I think, was when I started. So I was like 25. But yeah, I joined the roller derby team in Lafayette, like the local league, and they basically just taught me how to skate. Like, anybody new, they kind of teach you how to skate. So that's kind of where I learned. Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, a career, I guess, I didn't think about that as a career either, but you can go pretty far if you stick with roller derby, like, specifically. Like, you could become a sponsored player on a sponsored team. And
wow.
That could be, like, some people do make it a career, which when I initially played roller derby, I was like, that maybe that could be me one day, but, yeah, I just kind of got burnt out from it, honestly. I think for me, like, I do love to try new things. Maybe that's kind of why it's like I love learning, and
uh-huh.
I think just being a good learner makes you kind of, that's probably like what kind of the glue that ties all my interests together is, like, I like to learn. I'm good at learning. Usually I'm good at listening and like paying attention, I guess, to myself and to like instruction. So I think that like helps me to be better at things, like to progress quickly at things, generally. But it's also kind of the flip side of that. Like once I get to a plateau where I feel like I'm not, I forget the word, but like the, it's like the most bang for your buck, you know, like the more, like when you have to put in a lot of effort just for these small gains, like at some point you kind of reach a plateau and that's when things can kind of get like boring for me, I guess. And I'll kind of like give it up a little bit. Like I tried out a few, like I've tried out a few other things over the years, like gymnastics. I took a class, took an ice skating class. Like I like to try new things, and then at some point, a lot of times I end up just being like, okay, that was fun.
That was cool. Like learned something from
Learned something new. Yeah. Not going to be like my forever thing, but, roller skating I've kind of stuck with, I think, because there's so many different things you can do with it. Like I did the roller derby. Now I'm more into like, just like skating at parks or skating outside, you can like do all kinds of different, there's all kind of different kinds of skating is I guess what I'm getting at.
Okay.
And each of those takes quite a while to kind of master,
right,
I guess.
Right,
because
you're doing tricks now.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a whole web of things that I'm like trying out with skating right now.
And with skating too, I was going to ask you about that because it's become really hot. And in Lafayette,
super hot.
Like, I think coronavirus is when it really started getting hot, but in Lafayette, I know it's been a big thing for a long time because they have such a big presence for roller derby.
Yeah.
And so, like, I see a lot of people roller skating around here. So it's definitely in the water in Lafayette. It's not just, like, a trendy thing like you've been doing for years.
Yeah.
And so, I guess if people want to get into skating, what are, like, some major differences between the different things you can do with it? Like, derby, you know, commitment-wise, like, what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked roller derby because it was, like, kind of a safe space for me to learn how to do things. Like, I was learning how to skate along with other people. We kind of had, like, our own class. They call it fresh meat, basically, when you're, like, a newbie skater. And so there's usually one or two people designated on the team that'll kind of, like, teach you how to do everything, like, from square one, like, whether you've never skated before or you feel like you're pretty good, like, you go through that program of training. So that's, I mean, that was, for me, that was a really good way to learn because it was kind of, like, it was a commitment, but it wasn't too difficult. Like, it was just 2 days a week, and it was, like as long as I showed up, you know, I was going to eventually learn how to skate pretty well just through that. So that's, but it is kind of like an aggressive form of skating, I guess I would say. Like, if you're really afraid of getting hurt, might not be the best, you know, thing for you to do, because it probably will happen once you start playing. At some point, you'll probably get injured, because it's like a contact sport, you know,
right.
So it's like kind of like football without a ball, but on skates.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
There's also like, I mean, there's also, like, dance and jam skating, which is kind of, like, you know, typically people will do it more so at, like, a skating rink or something.
Right.
That, I mean, you kind of just go to a rink and start watching people. You can, there's definitely, like, a lot. I've noticed with skating ever since the kind of boom this year that we've seen, like, mainly when, I guess, I think it just started with the pandemic. Like,
right.
People just kind of got bored and were looking for things to do. But there's so many, like, tutorials out there now, like on YouTube and TikTok and like Instagram. Like, there's tons of tutorials out there that, like, definitely didn't exist when I started, which I wish had, because, like,
TikTok,
if I wanna,
oh my gosh, so informative now.
Yeah, very, very informative. Yeah, there's a, like, I guess it's good and bad, like, because with skating, there is, like, a culture to it, too, especially with, like, dance skating and dance skating. It's, like, a lot of times, it's, like, you just go to a rink, you meet friends, you meet people, and you'll kind of, like, you, like, try stuff on your own, and you learn stuff from people, whereas with TikTok, you can, like, just watch a bunch of videos and do it at home, which is great, but then it does kind of also takes away some of, like, skating culture, I guess, from it, if you're a new skater. Yeah, there's also, like, artistic roller skating, which is basically just figure skating, like ice figure skating, but on roller skates, you can do that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's all different kinds. I mean, if someone wants to, You can do them all, too, you know? Wow. Like, I kind of dabble in everything. You can go to, a park, with their, skateboarders, you know, like a skateboard park. And
you built your own guardrail, right?
Yeah, a little slide rail, yeah.
Yeah, that was super cool. That's just another thing you're good at is building things.
No, I'm not. Well, you built that! I did. That was the first thing I've ever built, the first, woodworking.
That was so cool.
I pretty much
just
followed a tutorial, but...
But you did.
I know. But I was really am I going to do this right? And it turned out okay. It just, sometimes you just have to learn. You just have to try something and then it's not as bad.
Yeah.
As you think.
I don't know if I've ever met anyone who was as interested or willing to try new things as much as you are.
Yeah.
In the, especially sports and stuff. You're definitely very into different types of movement and stuff. Is that your way of managing any sort of stress, or do you ever get stressed? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, I for sure get stressed. I honestly, but since I've known you, I, worked, I don't know, we met in, April, and I worked until July, and then I just haven't really had much to
do. So usually is it work that causes stress?
Usually it would be, a work stress or school. When I was in school, I would get stressed a lot. I'm pretty good at hiding it, though, which maybe is a bad thing. Can be good, can be bad. I think it's a balance. I can see some people I know, they get in their heads, and because they're freaking out about being stressed, they get more stressed.
Right.
It's like a snowball effect of...
Yeah.
Anxiety about anxiety, kind of stuff like that. So I think that's one end, but then on the other end, there's if you're really stressed on the inside, but you never, ever talk about it or act like you're stressed, it kind of can wear you down from the inside. So I think, it's definitely a balance you have to try to strive for. I tend to be more on the, not really expressing my stress, which may not, I don't know. Probably not the best thing, but...
I've never really thought, I always think, Lucy never gets stressed, it seems like.
I will say right now, generally, I don't have much to stress about. So
yeah.
I'm kind of not that stressed at the moment for the past few months, just because I'm just working from home. And
When you are working, do you use, physical activity as your outlet, or just, a bunch of different things?
Yeah, I would say I don't, I don't necessarily intentionally do it. I'm not oh, I'm stressed, I need to go run or whatever.
Right.
Or if anything, it's probably the opposite. The more stressed out I am, the less I want to do things that. But if I, once I do go out and do something, like a physical activity or whatever, generally I'm I realize now I feel way better. It's one of those things where it makes me feel a lot better when I do. But if I am super stressed or anxious about something, it's I just don't even want to do it.
Yeah, it's paralyzing.
But it does help, for sure.
Yeah.
That is a good outlet for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Any sort of skating, running, whatever.
Yeah, you're kind of drama-free. That's something else I noticed.
Yeah, I kind of, I don't know, a lot of times I just don't see the point.
Yeah.
I'm kind of just why do I?
Do you think that's because of... was a parent like that? Were your parents pretty, chill?
Yeah, my mom's... My parents are both pretty non-dramatic, I would say. I mean, I guess I got that from them. I don't know. But my mom doesn't really, she's not a big gossiper or, a shit talker or whatever.
Right.
And she's pretty direct, too. If there's a problem, she just says it.
Yeah.
And she's not... She can't, if it's a work-related issue and she's, paying for something and they're not doing it right or whatever, she can get a little snappy. But usually she's just no, this is wrong, or this, we need to do this way, or we need to whatever. She's pretty direct about if there's an issue in her life with something or with somebody.
Yeah.
She just kind of, puts it out there.
It shows in
a non-aggressive way, direct, I'm not very good at that. I'm just going to ignore that.
You're pretty chill.
But I think it does help that she's never, my parents, neither of them have ever really been that, they don't have, toxic relationships with people.
Yeah.
They're not very dramatic people in general, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. That's that's really cool.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which, who are the people you look up to the most? And it could be like a former mentor or a celebrity. I don't have any preconceived.
I definitely think my parents for sure. You know, as cliche as that is, I guess, but like, you know, my mom maybe I got some of that from my mom too, about like being good at learning and like wanting to try new things. Like she's had like 15 different careers, and by careers, I don't just mean like she's worked 10 different jobs or whatever. Like she literally has like made her own business multiple times. Like in like real, like, yeah, she's just really good at like work, mainly not as much with hobbies, but like just work wise. Like she's really good at like branching out into new fields and stuff. So she's had a lot of variety of different careers, and she's been really good at all of them. And then my dad, I don't know. He's just like a sweet old man. He just, he kind of works to live, I guess. He just works because he's wants to have free time to do fun things. So he like, my favorite thing about my dad is like, he literally probably goes outside every single day. Like he goes on a hike, or he goes kayaking, or he goes walking or something, like literally every single day. And he loves it. He takes pictures of birds. Like he, I don't know. He just like, apparently they called him like Nature Boy as a kid. Like, which is really cute. But yeah, he's just like, I don't know. It's just cool that to see someone like that love something that much and doing it every day, not for any other reason other than just like,
yes,
it makes them happy, you know, whatever.
Wow.
So
that's inspiring.
Yeah, they're good. They're cool.
What's your favorite vine?
Favorite vine?
I'm really going all over it.
Oh man, that's a tough one.
I need to know.
I really freaking love the chicken one, of the chickens in the cart, where should they press them down? And they and then there's that weird one. I don't even remember how it goes. Like the car, like vroom vroom. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, I'm like, in my mom's car.
Vroom vroom.
Yes.
That one I find super weird.
That one is good. It is very awkward.
I don't know if it's my favorite, but like I feel like whenever I think of Vavine, that's the first one that always comes to my head. Yeah. Like, that's the one that lives in my head the most, probably. Yeah. So I'm not so picking favorites. Yeah. What's yours? Do you have one?
Well, I like the compilation Vines That Butter My Croissant. There are a lot of good ones. Basically, like, a lot of kid vines for some reason. Like, the very wholesome, like, kids just doing stupid things. I really like. But there's actually a TikTok that I really like, and it's just coming to mind, where this cat's, like, running down a dock.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner's, like, filming the cat, and she's like, "It's okay, buddy." She's, like, comforting the cat. I don't know what's going on. He's just walking down the dock, and she's behind
him. Doesn't he fall in?
Yes. Yeah, and he, like, literally runs off the dock. Yeah. Like, he doesn't fall off. He, like, goes way too close to the edge, and then he, like, kind of falls off. But it's like, why did you go?
Why did you do that?
Yeah, and then he's, like, he goes under there, and he hides under there for a while because he's embarrassed or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Ow!" And you think, like, oh, no, he's hurt. But then when she films him under there, he's just, like, sitting there. And he's, like, totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. I know that one. That one's funny.
So, good. So you're moving to England for grad school, which I don't want you to, but we're going to ignore that. Literally, I was talking to Erica yesterday, and we talked about how she's going to move eventually, too. It's very depressing for me. Although, I mean, I know we're going to move, too.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, hey. You just want me to stay here and just be at your service
all time. I don't want Maddie to move either. We have a very nice house.
Yeah, we do. It's a really good house.
It's a very good group.
Mm-hmm.
So you're moving to England for grad school, and some people are really freaked out to move, especially overseas. So what's your mindset about it, and what are you most excited or and nervous about? Like, what are your pros and cons?
My mindset is kind of just like, I don't know, I guess, I mean, I honestly haven't even that moved that much in my life. Like, I really have only lived in Lafayette in Atlanta. Like, I moved to Atlanta for school, and then I moved back, and that's it. So I'm not, like, in terms of living other places, I'm not, like, that adventurous because I just moved back to Lafayette and never left.
You do go hiking, though.
I do.
Like, by yourself.
But I guess my point is like, if you're afraid, like, you're like, oh, I've never lived anywhere. It's like, well, I haven't really either, and I'm moving to freaking England.
Yeah.
I'm just, my mindset is honestly kind of just, well, you accepted the offer to their school.
Yeah.
Now you have to go. Like, yeah. It's just kind of like, I feel like it would, not that I wouldn't move there on my own, like, I'm saying on my own will as if, like, they're forcing me, but it's just like, yeah. It's one thing to move for school when it's kind of like, maybe they can hold your hand a little bit and you're not, yeah. You know, you're not going to be the only one moving there. Versus if I were to just, like, one day pop up and decide to move. I don't know how I would do that. Like, I don't really know how people do that, like, without having any plan or anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, people do it. I think it's crazy, but, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of just, my mindset right now is just kind of, like, we just gotta do it, you know?
Just gotta do it.
I love living in Atlanta. I just kind of, that's part of my personality, is liking to try new things. So I figured if the older I get, the harder it is to move to another country and live there. So I'm going to do it now.
Yeah.
Probably what I'm looking forward to the most is new foods, trying new foods, just living in a big city where I can go to, like, museums and just, like, try a bunch of stuff. And, like, walk around. I like to, like, walk around cities. What I'm looking forward to the least is probably, like, the weather. Like, that's lame, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. London can be kind of dreary from what I've heard.
Yes, it can. Probably colder than here.
Yeah, and just, like, I'm not really looking forward to the paperwork and stuff that I will be having to do.
Like, you don't need to be ready, just...
You don't. I don't feel like I am at all, or I don't feel like I will be, just...
Like, how can you be, really?
Yeah.
Okay, and my last question is, I'm kind of mixing it up with this one. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received? And it doesn't have to be the best, but just one that comes to your mind.
I think for me, the best piece of advice in more of, like, a work realm was, like, the perfect is the enemy of the good. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase.
Oh.
So, basically, like, or the perfect is the enemy of the very good, something like that. Basically, like, at some point, the work you've done is good enough, and any more progress you're putting into it to make it perfect is just, like, wasted time, and it's...
Mm.
Might even be making it worse, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to have... Kind of, like... It's an anti-perfectionist mindset, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you're wasting your own time and your own money working on something, trying to make it perfect, when you could just spend your time doing something else. You know?
I think that shows with you. Like, I think you've really taken that to heart, because if you are a perfectionist, you wouldn't try new things.
Yeah.
Because you can't do things perfectly the first time. But if you go into it with an open mind and not being a perfectionist, much more likely to do it.
Yeah. And I think like in high school, like, I don't know. In high school, I didn't have to try too hard to make, like, really, like, to make good grades. In college, I definitely did. And, like, my first 2 years, I was all about, like, getting a 4.0, like, you know, getting, like, if I got, like, a 98 on a test, I'd be, like, annoyed that, like, I didn't get 100 or whatever, which is not a healthy mindset. I mean, I had a good GPA, but it was at the expense of other things in my life.
Uh-huh.
And then at some point, I just couldn't maintain that academic rigor anymore, and I didn't give up, but I just kind of let it, like, if I make a B- or whatever, I don't care.
Right.
I'm just... You know, that kind of became my mindset, like, look, I don't have to make all A's or whatever, to still, like, you know, be a successful person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I even care that much about success, but just, like, for some reason I struggled with, like, the grades and, like, projects, and even when I graduated at work too, like, wanting things to be perfect when they didn't really need to be.
Yeah.
You know, no one's gonna notice.
Right. Yeah, so you noticed that, like, your life was better.
Yeah, it became my life has become better the more that I, the less fucks that I get. Yeah. about making things, like, really perfect or really good, you know.
What a good piece of advice for our listeners. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Nobody's really said that yet, so.
Yeah. That's, I mean, some people are like, yeah, I don't. Some people are going to be like, well, that's dumb. Like, I don't try at all. You know, it's not for everyone. But for people, if you are, like, a little bit of a perfectionist with some things, like, no one's going to notice that extra 2 hours you spend on that little
thing,
you know.
Yeah.
But if that means you didn't cook dinner or you didn't, like, eat or you didn't, like, you know, do something else that was just fun.
Right.
You know, you do suffer from it.
Yeah.
Time is important. Your time is important.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Lucy. And anything else you feel like you want to say?
Chocolate! Chocolate! Yeah, that's all I got. I don't know.
And here comes the outro music. Dun, 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 dun. Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to my episode with Lucy. Isn't she the greatest? If you're interested in taking singing lessons, go ahead and go to oliviapeck.com and there's a tab for singing lessons and you can fill out the lesson request form. And I teach lessons to people all over the world. I have a student in Sweden, Michigan, LA, Atlanta, and I really enjoy it. And it's my approach is super laid back, and I really like to teach people what they want to learn. I have a classical background, but I'm very into rock, singer-songwriter, even metal and pop, jazz, whatever you're into. I really like to learn with you and work on whatever you want to work on, even if it's writing songs or something really specific. Typically, the more specific your questions are, the more fun it can be, actually. And it's a great stress release, too. So it's really fun, and I think my rates are competitive, and my aim is to have affordable but quality singing lessons that are helpful but also really fun. So reach out if you're interested in that. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.